So now let's look at some ways that we can master prompting. So the first thing that I'll say, and I've said this quite a few times now, but it is worth saying over and over, you will want to chat and understand the topic first before you even look at prompts, okay? So I would argue that only experts, people with domain-specific knowledge about a particular topic, can write good prompts. Now, you know, I regularly speak to people who want to outsource before they can systemize, okay? And so this is kind of a metaphor for what I'm trying to say here. So I actually went to a mastermind with Andrew Fox and Peter Parks. This is a long, long time ago. This is probably actually over 10 years ago now. And so this was like a 10 million yacht mastermind, you know, that I went to. And at the time, the guy who was giving the talk was a guy called Peter Parks. I've not spoken to him for a very, very long time. But he was a master at outsourcing, okay? And so he had this very successful business, and he had dozens, maybe even if I remember correctly, hundreds of staff who were working on his business. And so he explained this formula to me that has always stuck in my mind, which is the formula to outsourcing, okay? And so firstly, we want to do a particular thing, and then as we do it ourselves, we will understand it. By understanding it, we will then be able to break it down into components and systemize it. And then, and only then, when we can systemize it, can we actually begin to outsource it. Well, it's the same idea with prompting. We are, in this case, though, not outsourcing to humans. We are outsourcing to language models. But the more that you try and kind of shortcut this process and just go straight to the outsourcing, straight to the prompting, without understanding, doing, or systemizing, the worse the results are going to be. So that is the first way that we can get prompt mastery. It's by having domain-specific mastery of the topic, of the domain, of the area that we actually want to look at. And in the absence of being experts at that, the way to try and become an expert understander of it is by having lots and lots of chats. Secondly, I would argue very strongly that you will want to run a lot of the prompts that you do, you want to run them multiple times, okay? And there's kind of a bell curve here, which I'll talk about in a second. You know, even if a prompt kind of averages like 8 out of 10, it won't be 8 out of 10 every time because of this randomness and temperature that is inherent in the language models. It's going to be somewhere between 7 out of 10 and 10 out of 10. And the only way that we get to the 10 out of 10 results, the outputs, is by running lots of prompts. And we'll come onto this in a second. And then again, to demonstrate is easier than to explicate. I've talked about this in the previous video. We'll want to give examples of what you want to GPT. GPT will understand it better than you. By all means, explicate. By all means, explain as well. But we'll want to give it examples as much as possible. And then lastly, we will want to use a state-of-the-art model, whether that's GPT-4, 4.0, 4 Turbo, Sonnet, 4.0 Llama, whatever it is. We'll want to use a very, very good model. And you'll see here I've not put that we must use, you know, Claude Opus 3, or we must use Sonnet 3.5, or we must use GPT-4. These models are all kind of ballpark at the moment. What's more important is doing all these other things that we're talking about here. Another important point is to pay attention to the mistakes that the AI makes, okay? And so sometimes when you give it a prompt, you'll notice that it always fails in the same way. And so it'll always do something completely wrong. You'll always ask it for 10 examples and it will always only give you 5. You'll always ask it to capitalize and it will refuse to capitalize. Now, it's tempting to take the same prompt and then, you know, just at the end, write in capital letters, do not capitalize, make sure you give 5 examples. But what I've found is if the model is failing consistently in the same way over and over again, that is telling you that the model does not want or is not able to do that thing. And so rather than just kind of shout at it, in most cases, we will want to change our prompt, maybe break it down into different sections, maybe remove one of the parts, maybe simplify things, give better examples. Basically, we want to pay attention to mistakes that the AI makes and accommodate it as much as possible. When we're working with code, we, of course, need exactly perfect working code. And so in some cases, you may want to, you know, tell the AI in capital letters, do not return markup, or you must immediately launch into the code. Do not say, here is the code, or whatever it is. But broadly, we want to accommodate the AI where possible and pay close attention to any mistakes that the AI is making. So basically, don't fight failing prompts. You know, the AI has got limited resources. If it's failing the same way over and over again, we probably need to change something, either change the prompt or break it down into separate prompts, into chains that the AI can handle better. Also, there's a lot of prompt gimmicks out there. I'll tip you $5 is a classic one, including typos, which I actually do sometimes myself. If you deliberately include a typo, it can make the language model kind of reflect a little bit more about what you're trying to say, because it can't easily just launch into a stream. It has to try and parse and understand what you're saying a little bit better. Threatening the AI, I will cry, bad things will happen if you don't do this. You know, all of this stuff is kind of can add like 1 or 2% to your responses, but it's kind of inconsistent. And I think it's kind of secondary, you know, to some of these more fundamental things that we can do. One of the most popular phrases by people who are very good at prompting is think step by step. And this does indeed work. But then again, maybe you should think step by step, and you should decompose your long detailed prompt into the steps that the AI, you know, you want the AI to do. So rather than telling the AI to think step by step, if you're using this prompt, which by the way does work, then maybe it's an indication to you that you should be decomposing your prompt into individual prompts that you can chain together, perhaps with an agent. And again, I've mentioned this several times. Summarize your prompt with a sentence at the start and the end. So if the prompt is about writing some headlines, then you will want to start with a very, very simple sentence that says something like, I need you to write me 10 headlines for my dieting offer, full stop, new line. And then at that point, you can have your prompt. And then at the end, you'll summarize by saying, please now return me 10 headlines for my dieting offer. And so you're going to put it at the start, you're going to put it at the end. And then the main prompt comes at, you know, in the center, and that's going to make sure that the AI is fully focused on the kind of the core task at hand. So that covers it for this video on mastering AI prompts. These are very easy to forget, but they're going to be very, very important if you want to get the best out of AI. So I would definitely recommend you that you follow them. So that covers it, and I'll see you in the next video. Cheers.